Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Oh, the Big Ten Conference. What a year it's been and what a year it's going to be. Last night, Maryland, who Indiana plays here in a couple games, knocks off Wisconsin, who I thought was kind of making the early season move to the top of the conference. A really fun game, 70-64, the final score. And then Minnesota absolutely hammers Michigan State, 81-56. So just another reminder, we've been all over this and talk about it, and I'm sure we're going to continue to brag on the Big Ten Conference, but what a start to the all-conference games it has been. And last night is just another indicator of how good the conference is and how crazy some of the results are going to be this season. Of course, we mentioned this week is important for Indiana with home games, Penn State tomorrow, Maryland later in the week. Maryland, by no, you know, when we talked about this yesterday, by no stretch of the imagination is an easy win. There isn't an easy win in the Big Ten Conference, but to see them come out and beat Wisconsin last night, obviously that changes things even more with making that Maryland game a tough one. Welcome into our Tuesday edition of the program. Jam-packed hour once again as we take you through to the end of 2020 and get ready for the start of 2021. And, of course, the IU Hoosiers, the football team playing in the Outback Bowl on Saturday. So we have plenty to talk about today. Let's get right to the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, instead of our headlines today, we'll go to Andrew Grants, the head coach of Jeffersonville. His team is headed for an afternoon game down in the pocket city of Evansville, and he'll join us for a conversation about his team so far. But can you imagine being told that on December 29th, Jeffersonville or any local team would have played two high school basketball games this season? And the Red Devils have had their share of issues with COVID early in the year. There have been other games canceled. And his situation, probably as much as any coach, any program in the state, underscores how crazy this year has been and likely will continue to be. But we'll talk with Coach Grants. Despite just playing two games, there is excitement about this team. There's talent on this team. Will Loving's watch is the guy we talk about the most, but there's a lot of other talent as well. We'll talk with Coach Grants coming up here in just a few moments about that and more. Later in the show, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana joins. We'll dive into this unbelievable Big Ten Conference and some of the results last night, what's ahead tonight, what's next for Indiana with Penn State. We'll look at all that, just some record-setting things for the conference as well. Yesterday, 9 teams in the Associated Press top 25, and Indiana was receiving votes as would have been a 10th team if they had enough to get in. Obviously, after the start, you wouldn't expect them to have enough. But that, again, is just another reminder about how good this conference is going to be this season. Later in the show, Mike Pegram joins us. He's getting ready to head south to Florida for the Outback Bowl, and we'll talk about some football topics today. Ole Miss, Lane yesterday saying his team is struggling with some COVID-19 issues still, and also just some normal injuries also. They're determined to play the bowl game, he said, but boy, it sounds like they are shorthanded. We'll talk about IU's situation when they leave. You know, normally these bowl games, in addition to being exciting matchups, and at least on paper, I don't know how this one's going to go, but it's a fun opportunity for these student-athletes to really experience the local community and get to a place with pretty good weather and do some things out outside and do some things at the hotel with fans and boosters and people from that bowl and that community. It's going to be very limited, it sounds like, this year, but we'll talk about maybe some of the auxiliary things that go on with the Outback Bowl down in the Tampa area with Mike when he joins us later today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, their dinner package deals are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get right to our first guest today. Andrew Grants, first-year coach of the Red Devils of Jeffersonville, is with us, and I think Coach Grants joins us from the bus as they head down to Evansville for an afternoon game with Evansville Bossy. Coach, two games under your belt. This will make three this afternoon as you head into the new year, so you're still learning a lot about your team, and we talked some yesterday off-air that really this has been a long process to get where you're at, and who would have ever thought headed into 2021 you'd have two, three games under your belt?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I was just talking to somebody the other day. I mean, we're basically 2 months away from the end of the season. I feel like we're just getting started. So, yeah, it has been crazy. It's definitely a learning experience. If you look at our team and the returning players that have significant varsity experience, you know, with Will and Brandon Razor Moore and Kobe Studemeyer, we're really, you know, we got to get the other guys, you know, that varsity experience. And the more that they can be on the court and play and learn in game situations that we could go back and watch film and break down and do those things, the more it's going to benefit them. So, yeah, I mean, we're 2 months in, but only two games. So, you know, the more that we can play and get those experiences is just going to help those younger players just develop and become the players that they're capable of being.
Andrew Grants of Jeffersonville, my guest. Coach, that opening game was a loss, a 10-point loss to Silver Creek. We know what the Dragons have this year, and Trey Kaufman also made his return to their lineup that night as well. But, boy, in that game, coming out with not as much practice as you would like to have, definitely not the game experience you wanted to have headed into a primetime Southern Indiana matchup like that, I thought there were a lot of positives in that contest. And we got to start again with Will Lovings-Watts. We knew he would be really good this year. I think you knew that when you accepted the job, that he was a key piece of anything you were going to build here in year one at Jeffersonville. But at least and you're with him in practice, but at least in the little bit I've seen him this season, he seems to have taken some big steps forward, including his ball handling. He was going from rim to rim a number of times in that game, almost handling the ball as well as a point guard.
Yeah, he has. We actually use him, you know, as at the point guard spot whenever Kobe is off the floor, and we really trust him to be able to, you know, set us up and get us in our offense. He, by adding, you know, really working on his ball handling in the offseason, his outside shooting, you know, he adds that threat in transition and just becomes even more dangerous to be able to take it from coast to coast. But he also is not just a player that, you know, you can play off of and just make him just shoot jumpers. He's a bit more than capable of knocking them down. He was 50% in that game against Silver Creek. And but then, you know, what's great about him is, like, our last game against Indy Washington, you know, he the outside shot wasn't falling as well, but he got to the free throw line. He was 10 for 10 from the free throw line. So that's all credit to the work that he's put in the offseason developing his guard skills.
Andrew Grants, Jeffersonville coach. They're headed to Evansville now for an afternoon game at Evansville Bossy. Coach, Brandon Razor Moore, 34 points in that game against Indianapolis Washington. He had a great output as well in the game against Silver Creek. A huge addition to your program. We discussed him some in the preseason before you had played. He transferred in the offseason from Louisville to Jeffersonville. And clearly he is fitting in and shows that he can do a lot, whether it's slashing to the rim or also shooting as well. What an addition he has been so far. And I know that big point performance against Indianapolis Washington has you hopeful for what he can continue to bring this season.
Yeah, absolutely. He shoots the ball so well, but he shoots it so well from, you know, from a good range, you know, so you really have to guard him out on the perimeter, but he's long and he's able to get to the rim. He uses his length well in defensive end too. He gets a lot of deflections for us. There's many, many days in practice where he's our team leader in deflections. I believe against Washington, he had maybe three block shots, you know, so he does a good job even protecting the rim from a guard spot. So yeah, he's added a lot to our team and you know, really makes teams have to guard us out on the perimeter because he is able to knock down the shots from well beyond the three-point line. And We're very happy to have him. The best thing about him that I've said since I've met him is that he's an unselfish kid and he's a team guy. So he not only adds the basketball side of things, but he adds to the culture of our program as well.
Talking to Andrew Grants, head coach of Jeffersonville. Coach, the schedule this season, you've lost some games. You're likely to lose more games. I know you've got some Louisville opponents on the schedule, and who knows exactly at this point when they're going to be able to play. But today's game, this game at Ball State in the afternoon, it wasn't a planned thing. It wasn't on your initial schedule when things came out. That, again, just kind of underscores what the year's been like for you and many other coaches.
Oh, it's been great. Well, the toughest thing, and just talking to some of the other coaches, the toughest thing really is, scouting reports. I mean, you kind of get an idea in the preseason of what coaches are going to scout which games and, kind of how to prep and what you need to do. And then you go in, it'd be canceled, and now you got to work on a new team. And, it's hard on the coaches that are putting in the time. It's hard on the kids that, they get hyped up for a game, and then all of a sudden you're not playing that game. But we were very glad to get Bossy on the schedule. We needed to get some more game experience. We lost a holiday tournament that we were supposed to play in because it was in Kentucky and they pushed back their season, so we couldn't play in it. And actually, with Bossy, we were supposed to play a couple of games today. But one of the teams that they were talking to that was supposed to be a little free team thing, they got put on quarantine. So we were coming today with the plan to play kind of a regional format morning afternoon game, and that kind of got pushed aside, so we're just going for one game today. But I know just talking with a lot of the other coaches around the state, a lot of teams are looking for games and dropping games and, kind of just picking up whatever opponents they can find. So I know for us right now with our group, it's just a matter of we got to get that game experience, to learn about each other so they can learn a little bit more about me with this being our first run together, and I can learn more about them and who's good and what situations and who's comfortable with what. And, like I said earlier, those younger guys getting that experience, so they're getting more comfortable. So, right now it's just, we're just thankful to be able to be on the bus and going and playing a basketball game.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach Grants of Jeff Basketball with us here in the opening segment of this Tuesday program. Let's look ahead for just a moment. January 8th. You are scheduled to host New Albany, and that's the big rivalry game. And while you might be new to Jeff this season, you're not new to Southern Indiana basketball. You understand the importance of this rivalry and how deep the traditions run with both schools and their basketball programs. And so I'm not asking you to think too far ahead beyond today's game, but I know that's something that when you took the job, you were excited about some of those big game moments, like the rivalry games that go along with the job that Jeffersonville has.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's that's a game we look forward to, any of the local teams for sure. But you talk about the history of both Jeff and New Albany, and two of the most historically successful programs in the state. And any time that we're able to come together and play each other, there's excitement around it. I'm disappointed this year that we won't really be able to have a packed house. I was really looking forward to that. But just that, and I've talked to you about this a lot, just in our conversation, just that Southern Indiana, vibe that you get for those big games like that. There's absolutely nothing like it. So we're very excited for that game. Obviously, when it gets here, what we've been talking with our boys about is we've got Evansville Bossy today. That's our biggest game on the schedule. Then after this, we've got Evansville North next Tuesday. That's our biggest game on the schedule after today. And so we really are drilling in the point with our guys that the biggest game on our schedule is the next one. And so we're obviously we know that one's right around the corner, and I'm excited for it as a coach. But right now we're really just focusing on just learning every day and just taking every day and trying to win every day. And if we feel that if we could put a lot of wins together each day in practice, that those will carry over to wins in basketball games.
Absolutely. And as you scout opponents, this is something I think is interesting. As you scout opponents this year, you prepare for upcoming games. Not only are you adding games and maybe not able to prepare at the level that you would in a normal basis if you knew you were going to play Ball State on a Tuesday afternoon, but you really can't go out and scout like normal. So when you do play the big games or conference matchups or any game that you prepare for, as I know you guys do, it's just different. You're watching games at home. You're watching them in your office. You're watching them on video streams, just a lot different, even in preparation for games this season.
Yeah, it's huge. There's so many little nuances that you pick up when you go and watch a game live. there's so many times when you go and watch a game live, you can kind of watch what the coach is telling the kids, and you can pick up on what they're emphasizing, that you don't get to see those things on film or you can't hear those things on film. Just something as simple as getting play calls. And it's really weird this year. It's actually, I think, harder to get the other team's play calls with an empty gym because it echoes so much and you can't hear it. Where when it's a louder gym, you can, the coach has to yell more and you can kind of hear it a little bit better. So just little things like that that are just, you know, so different and unique for this year. But, yeah, it's tough to not, you know, I always look forward. I know my coaches, we were looking forward. We had it all planned out in the fall of who's going to which games. And you're going to be here on Tuesday. You guys are here on Friday. I'm here Saturday. And that's kind of one of the things that excites me about coaching is you get to go around and watch different matchups and things. And, you know, this year you got to watch it online at home. And so it's a little different. But, you know, we're taking it in stride with our coaching staff. They're doing a heck of a job. And, you know, I've been really proud of them and what the work that they've been putting in. And, you know, preparing the best that we can without being able to see teams in person.
Andrew Grants of Jeff, his team will play this afternoon at Evansville Ballsy, and it will be just the Red Devils' third game of the upcoming season. Coach, lots of talent. Look forward to seeing you guys come together as the season moves along, and appreciate your time from the bus today. Safe travels, and good luck this afternoon.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Andrew Grants of Jeff. Game number 3 for the Red Devils coming up this afternoon. And if things stay on schedule for Jeffersonville after this afternoon down at Ballsy, they will host Evansville North on January 5th. And then after that, it's the big one, January 8th at Jeffersonville, New Albany at Jeff for that rivalry game. That's segment 1 here on this Tuesday program. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. Speaking of holiday basketball, the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament, it begins this evening. Providence and Silver Creek play at 6, then they'll clear the gym and have Clarksville and Charlestown. This is the 60th edition of the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament, 60th annual edition of the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament. Of course, the losers from tonight will play tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And the winners will play in the championship tomorrow at 7:30. And, of course, the Dragons, the host, the big favorite with Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby, Brandon Northern, and more. We'll be back with Dylan Wallace. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana will join us here in just a moment. A couple people ask. Greg Doyle is on vacation this week, and so he'll rejoin us next Tuesday. And, of course, we miss Dylan on Friday because of Christmas, and we'll miss him again Friday because in his normal appearance because of the new year. But wanted to have him today with so much going on with IU basketball, football, and this unbelievable Big Ten Conference. And that's where I want to start today, Dylan. I mentioned in the open of the show that 9 Big Ten teams were ranked in the AP and the USA Today polls that came out yesterday. That's the most ever. It ties the Big East back in March of 2011. They also had 9 teams in the polls as well. The Big Ten, a 67-14 record in Division I non-conference play, so very dominating performances for the most part against other Division I competition. And that, I think, record especially stands out this year because so few non-conference games. They were primarily against high major opponents for most teams. And the Big Ten, on an individual basis, they have 3 of the top 4 scorers in the country right now: Garza from Iowa, Carr from Minnesota, and Dosumo from Illinois. And then I saw Ron Harper Jr. 7th in scoring in the country right now. So, Dylan, my point is this. It's what we've talked about so very much, and I know we're going to continue to highlight and talk about throughout the season, especially looking at the scores last night with Maryland and Minnesota getting big wins What a conference this is, and what an unbelievable start to conference games we've seen so far for the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's been, I think, maybe even better than I think we expected it to be. I mean, we thought it was going to be deep and tough, obviously. But I don't think anyone thought, you know, I think what people thought were some of, like, the bottom teams in the conference are now all of a sudden ranked in the top 25. And that's, you know, that's a scary thought that, you know, you have so many teams. I mean, there's only five, it's a 14-team conference, and only five of them aren't in the top 25 right now. And that's just kind of crazy to think about. You know, you have Northwestern, who, you know, was one of the bottom two last year. Now they're number 19. Minnesota, I don't think anyone expected them to be ranked, and here they are as well. It's just, it's been, you know, crazy to watch, and there's really no guarantees. I mean, you know, I think everyone probably thought Wisconsin was home, would have 100% beat Maryland at home last night, and they didn't. You know, they were up 8 at one point. They let a 6-0 run, and Maryland got back in the game, and they kind of took over down the stretch. And it's getting this at the Kohl Center, too, so there is really no guarantee in this conference at all. And that's, you know, that's the tough part, that you got to be ready to play every single night. And it's going to make for some exciting games, you know, every day. You know, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a gimme game, which is, it's funny, you know, it's exciting as Big Ten, you know, for Big Ten fans to watch and to kind of see that, the parity in the league. But, you know, it's definitely the best league in the country by far, I think. And it's going to be challenging. You know, I think that whoever wins the Big Ten is going to have a decent amount of losses. They're going to have like 7 or 8 losses in the conference just because of how good, you know, each team is playing right now. You know, they're just, no one's scared of the other opponent, and everyone's kind of bringing it to each other, and anything kind of happen on any given night. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And you mentioned the non-conference play. I remember watching the Big Ten kind of dominate the ACC Challenge. I know some games were canceled, but I remember them winning most of those games. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a really good conference. And, you know, this could be a year where we see a record number of teams get into the NCAA tournament, which would obviously be really cool to see. So, I mean, I guess it's going to be something that can definitely keep an eye on down the road. Is just any given night, you know, you don't know who's going to win what game. And, yeah, that's the fun thing about college basketball. But I guess, you know, we'll probably get into it for Anna's sake. You know, they got to get going here in the next few days.
Dylan, I want to get into IU at Penn State coming up on Wednesday. That's the Hoosiers' next game, and I think just an unbelievably important game to win over Penn State at home. But keeping with the Big Ten topic for just a moment, tonight some interesting games. Purdue is on the road at Rutgers. I think that's interesting. I think Rutgers and Ron Harper Jr., they could be really special this year. And then the nightcap, I believe it's on FS1 tonight, Northwestern, upstart 3-0 to begin conference play at Iowa tonight in Iowa City. And I think that one will find out more about this Northwestern team and if they're for real, which I think they are. But that's going to be, I think, a really interesting ball game tonight. I'm looking forward to tuning that one in.
Oh, yeah, so am I. You know, I think Purdue has been a little more competitive than maybe people might have thought. You know, to see them kind of go away from Mackey and play at the rack, you know, Rutgers was very dominant there last year. You know, no fans can make a difference, but, you know, that should be kind of I just envision a super scrappy kind of slow scoring game between those two. And then, yeah, I mean, the Northwestern Iowa one's really interesting because Northwestern, I mean, they're off to a 3-0 start. You know, they kind of put a whooping on Michigan State at home, and they came to Assembly Hall and beat Indiana, and then they kind of rallied back to beat Ohio State at home. And now they're going to go to Iowa City, and Iowa's just coming off a loss to Minnesota. You know, they had a 3-point lead kind of at the end, and Tucson kind of missed 2 free throws, and Marcus Carr tied the game. They went to overtime, and Minnesota went crazy from 3. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how Iowa bounces back from their loss and sort of what kind of Northwestern has. You know, they've already showed they can compete with some teams. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a fun game to watch. I wouldn't be surprised if kind of Iowa pulled out the victory. But, again, you know, I don't know what to expect with any of these games anymore. So, yeah, I think that game's going to be good, you know. We'll see kind of how Iowa can, or how Northwestern is able to kind of defend Lucas Garza and stop him. But, you know, with Iowa being at home, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of pull away. But, yeah, two really good games tonight. That's going to show us a lot kind of going forward in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, and I don't mean to sound like a Big Ten PR guy, but I guess I don't mind that. The Big Ten, in addition to being really good this year, has had some unbelievable opportunities on TV to be showcased, and one of those was Christmas Day. I'm not sure what the ratings were, and I know that maybe in our area, our state, the Kentuckiana region that I'm in, I'm sure is especially high on the ratings. But what an opportunity to have such good games and good teams on Christmas Day, and some of these big early conference matchups have been just fantastic to take in. Indiana's back at it Wednesday, and I think everybody going into the week believed that for Indiana to kind of make up some early ground loss with some of these losses, they needed to win both of these games. They're at home, Penn State, not at the top, not at the middle of the conference, or expected to be. And Maryland, we thought maybe before last night, was more winnable than maybe what it really is. But Penn State, I don't see any way around this one, Dylan. This has to be a win in Bloomington for the team.
It has to be. You know, if they don't get that win, I think there might be some room for a little bit of panic. You know, I mean, it's obviously still early in the third game, but like you need to win because you know, I think Archie Miller said this last night on the radio show, like, we need to get back in the race. Like, you know, the Big Ten race has started and teams are taking down teams, and Indiana is currently hasn't beaten anybody. And they need to kind of get on the winning track in the Big Ten. You need to start getting some confidence in this conference, or else it's going to eat you alive. I mean, you know, I'm sure no one wants to talk about the 2019 season, but, you know, you see what happens when you kind of let the losses pile up and things start fall apart, you know. So you want to try to get a win and avoid sort of a downward spiral there. But, I mean, yeah, you know, Penn State, you know, they played Illinois pretty tough for like a half, you know, when they played them, but Illinois kind of pulled away. But, yeah, I mean, they can really shoot the ball from three, and that's kind of – where it is going to have to kind of stop them. You know, they don't have Lamar Stevens anymore, who was kind of the big guy last year, their big star. And, you know, Indiana was able to beat them at home last year. So, you know, as long as you kind of defend that three-point line and you're able to get Trace going early, you know, this should be a game that you should win, and I think you have to win it. And it's going to be interesting to kind of see what they're going to do. You know, Archie Miller talked about a lot of guys wanting to play more. I feel like he kind of brings that up every week, and maybe we're starting to see it some more. Maybe, you know, I guess we'll see. But, you know, it's going to be a game that, you know, they definitely need to win. They need to get on the winning track. You know, you're 0-2 right now. And with these two games, you even mentioned Maryland, like with these two games coming up, like you got to, you know, if you can get back to .500 in conference, that would be a great start for you guys to kind of reset and, you know, kind of hopefully get going a little bit.
Talking with Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Looking ahead at Indiana's schedule, obviously Penn State and Maryland are next, and nothing's guaranteed, nothing's given, as we've discussed. But things even, I think, take a jump forward after that if you look at what's ahead in mid to late January, just some unbelievable back-to-back matchups for this team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a gauntlet for sure. You know, it's not going to be easy whatsoever. I think, you know, you go to Wisconsin after the Maryland one, and then you're at Michigan State, and you're at Iowa. I don't know. I got to skip it. But, you know, when you go to Wisconsin, you're at Nebraska, you have Purdue. I mean, it's not going to be easy whatsoever. And you know, I guess, you know, they played Illinois, I think, pretty well on the road. I think, obviously you don't look for moral victories because you want to try to win, but I think they looked decent. They were in the game, and, you know, with the road struggles they've had the last few years, at least, you know, they didn't get blown out of the water, you know, which is what you want to see. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, there's no game that I think Indiana looks at and you know, fans could look at and be like, oh, well, it's an easy win. But what I will say is after that Florida State loss, we had heard, you know, Trace say, you know, these are games we need to win. You know, we're not the same program that we were the last 3 years. Then, you know, these next two games, like, if that's true, you know, you have to just win them. You know, if that's not you guys' mentality and you want to win the games you're supposed to win, they have to come out and beat Penn State and beat Maryland, get back to .500, and then there you go. You know, you're off to Wisconsin. Maryland just beat Wisconsin. You know, they showed a little bit of vulnerability, you know. So you have – there's plenty of room for kind of Indiana to capitalize and try to get some wins here and there and get themselves back kind of in the race. I mean – 9 teams in the Big Ten are ranked in the top 25, and Indiana, one of the most, you know, more historical programs in the country, is not one of them. I think they should be offended by that. I think they should say, hey, you know, look at this conference. Like, we should be one of these teams that people are talking about that are ranked in the top 25. You know, they should be hungry to kind of get to that point and be kind of kind of one of the fierce competitors in the league. So, you know, you hope, you know, these two losses kind of snap them into that gear. And, you know, you kind of hope that, you know, these next two games, they show something they haven't shown yet in Big Ten play.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Dylan, as always, thanks for the chat. We missed you because of Christmas on Friday. We were going to miss you this week because of the New Year holiday, but hope you had a great Christmas and a great New Year coming up, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing lots of information, and I encourage you to check out Dylan's work at si.com/college/Indiana on the Sports Illustrated Indiana website. Dylan, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you guys, and have a happy New Year as well.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace, our guest, always with us Fridays, but filling in today with Greg Doyle on vacation. We appreciate Dylan being with us each and every week here on the program. Get ready and head to a break here in just a moment. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is going to join us. We'll talk some IU football and get ready for the bowl game with him. Mike will be headed to the Outback Bowl, I believe, coming up later in the week, and so we'll discuss that. And also a little more IU basketball. Last night on the Archie Miller Show, I thought some very interesting comments from Coach Miller about Christian Lander and Jordan Geronimo, and it sounds like we could expect to see more playing time for both of those guys coming up here, maybe to Wednesday night and some of these upcoming games for Indiana. We'll discuss that as well with Mike when he joins us in the next segment. And another high school note, you know, we told you about the Silver Creek tournament, the boys holiday tournament tonight, 60th annual tournament, always fun. Of course, Silver Creek is the big favorite, but how about the Silver Creek girls? They are 11-0. They've had a great year. They've been ranked number one in 3A girls basketball for, I think, most, if not all, the season. They had their December 17th game against Bedford North Lawrence, who's always really good in girls basketball, postponed to later in the year. But coming up today, they play in a little two-game deal up at North Central in Indianapolis. North Central is ranked number two in 4A hoops. And then in a few days, they take on number one Crown Point up in Gary, Indiana. So Scott Shane's team, really good. They're going to find out even more about themselves here in the next few days. We'll take a break, come back with Mike Pegram. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, getting closer to the Outback Bowl on Saturday to see what this Indiana team can do to close their season. We'll talk that and more in this segment with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who's always with us Tuesdays on the program. Mike, before we talk about things from an IU perspective in the bowl game on Saturday, I've had some questions about when do they leave and do they get to have the normal experiences teams get to do, a little celebrating and partying before bowl games. I read a story yesterday in the Clarion Ledger down in Mississippi that doesn't sound good. We know Ole Miss has had its share of struggles this season, and they've sure had some crazy scores as well. But it sounds like, according to Coach Kiffin, that they're going to play the bowl game, but they are struggling with some COVID continuations and also some injuries heading into this game on Saturday.
Yeah, injuries to key players, including their most productive wide receiver in terms of yards per catch. Breland Sanders is probably not going to play because of an ankle injury. And their top running back, Jerrion Ealy, is also hurt an ankle in their final game against LSU. And it sounds like he probably will play, but it's still questionable. And then they've also got a couple players that Lane Kiffin said were considering opting out, meaning they didn't want to hurt their NFL draft chances. And they've already had the two best receivers already opt out right before the LSU game. So they're down several kind of skill level players on offense, which is going to hurt them, obviously.
Yeah, no question. Going to be interesting to see how this one goes. IU, I know we saw some photos of the equipment trucks headed south for the game. And I think Coach Allen addressed this earlier. There's going to be like a Taste of Florida event for the team, and I'm sure the staff at the hotel to give them some good food and maybe a little bit of taste of the area that they're in. But from everything I can tell, not just with the Outback Bowl, but with all bowls this year, some of the celebratory pregame stuff, the teams normally get there a little early. Most of these games, especially the bigger bowls, are in pretty good weather areas, so they want to get outside and practice and enjoy that weather and get ready for the game. But there's always some visits to an amusement park or some charity events where you visit sick children in the hospital, just different things that are tied in with each game, which really kind of add to the overall experience, especially for the student-athletes. I've got to believe that very, very little, if any of that, will happen for this Indiana team and really any team in a bowl game coming up.
Yeah, this was a normal year. They would already be in Tampa and playing at a high school every day, working out, and we'd be down there interviewing those guys and talking about practice and all that. And they'd be, you know, I think last year they had some things. They went out to Topgolf and hit some balls out there in Jacksonville and then went out and visited the Naval Station, you know, and just a lot of things that the area offers. They did, but this year they're not even going down until tomorrow, and I think Ole Miss may not be going down until Thursday. So, and then they'll be, you know, protected to make sure nobody picks up the virus before the game. It's crazy, and Indiana still has some players that as of Monday had not returned to practice because they're coming off being tested positive. It sounded like they would be returning this week so that the team is pretty close to full roster, but it's crazy times. But they're right now they're playing that game, and Iowa's not playing the game. They had their bowl game canceled against a team that Indiana could very well have been playing. So the fact that the game is on is good for the program.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, talking IU football and the bowl game in this segment. Yeah, that was my next question. What is the health of this Indiana team? And I guess if you think back to when the outbreak occurred right after the Wisconsin game for Indiana, even though that initial batch of players you would hope and think would be back and cleared to play, who knows how much further into the program the infection and the virus went, where some of the more recent cases, as you mentioned, may not be cleared yet, may still have some issues.
Yeah, but it does sound like it was far enough away that they would get most everybody back. And they're a little bit better positioned than Ole Miss because they didn't play, they haven't played any recent games. So they don't have those injuries that kind of take somebody out for a couple weeks or, you know, that are still an issue with this fast turnaround. But because they haven't played in a while, some of the guys that didn't play in their final game are probably ready to go on Saturday.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. I've seen a few Matt Weaver stories and tweets lately from the Pigs.com site, and we'll have Matt on later this week in advance of the bowl game as well. But it sounds like, as you would expect any coach to do, and what Tom Allen did last year as well, using this bowl opportunity, even though there may not be all the fanfare and so forth leading up to the game like normal, but using this bowl opportunity and this great season and record and ranking as well to continue driving further the recruitment of players down in the Florida area.
Yes, Tom has coached there for a long time. His son went to high school there. So many of the IU players, including Michael Penix, are from Tampa Bay area. Some of the Sarasota area nearby. It's just a, you know, a way for them to keep that pipeline going down there and being in the newspapers and, you know, players in high school there seeing that they could possibly come back to Florida for a bowl game and be near their family. And so Michael McFadden, who is a, you know, All-American third team announcement this week, is from the area. Going to be a real way to keep this pipeline going, which has been a great compliment to what they do in the home state in the Midwest.
Talking to Mike Pegram. Want to switch to basketball, Mike, as we close the segment out. I thought the Archie Miller radio show last night, it's always an opportunity to hear from him, and he doesn't always have that much to say sometime after the games, and there's not always a lot of media availability, so that show is really a way to get some insight into his mind. And I thought last week, or last night, I should say, was was extra interesting. He made some interesting comments on Christian Lander and Jordan Geronimo, and I don't have it in front of me here. I'm paraphrasing, but it sounds like that he's believing that in some of these upcoming games, he needs to play some of these other guys a little more, maybe develop a deeper bench than what he has right now.
Yeah, that's what happens when you lose a couple games and you kind of get your backs against the wall. You start reevaluating who's on the court. I mean, they have some solid veterans, and I've kind of posted this on our boards. They have a lot of solid players only get you so far, and both Geronimo and Lander have tremendous upside. Jordan's kind of shown some things on the court. We all kind of know what Christian Lander's abilities are. He's just so young that it's taking him a little bit. It's a little bit tougher transition for him. Plus, he's playing the point guard spot, makes it even doubly difficult. You know, he should be a senior in high school this year, but they are not creating great offensive opportunities from the point guard position. They don't have somebody that has some of Christian's abilities to kind of drive and dish and use his quickness and what he has, his kind of burst with the ball. But he has struggled guarding people and decision-making on the shot selection and so forth. But I think Archie's come to the realization you got to maybe just play him and let him figure that out. It may cost you in the short run, but make you better in the long run.
Mike, we talk a lot about the positive angles as often as possible, and Armon Franklin has been a nice surprise and definitely a positive for this Indiana team so far. It looks like, you know, he's going to be fairly consistent with his shooting and some of his scoring, at least so far. But on a negative side, Rob Phinisee, I think that a lot of fans, just because of what he's done in the past, some steady, for the most part, ball handling that he's brought to the team in previous seasons. You think a guy that's entering year number three in Bloomington is ready to step up and run this Archie Miller offense through and through, because he's got a number of years under his belt and a lot of minutes and starting assignments under his belt at this point. Are you surprised and concerned about what you've seen from him, or maybe the lack of production from him? I don't know that I expected a guy to have breakout scoring and to do all kind of amazing things, but I thought he would be very steady in his leadership, handling the basketball and running the offense.
Yeah, I think some of us expected more of this year because we've believed, and you never know this, with injury. He's had injuries the first 2 years, and it seemed to hamper him. And now that he's healthy, there was kind of a feeling that he would take his game up a notch. But, I also think he's kind of in a little mini slump. Maybe it's more than a mini slump at this point. And players go through that. And, you know, we saw a lot of times, like Robert Johnson was a perfect example of a guy going in and out of slumps. And I think Rob has been in one, though. The second half of the last game was a positive sign for him. I do think this, and I kind of talked about it that a second ago with Christian Lander. He's more of he's not necessarily a great guy who sets everybody up, but he manages games well. You know, he doesn't turn it over too much. But as far as creating opportunities for his teammates, he's not super great at that, and that's why he's only averaged around 3 assists per game over his career. And it is a certain limit to maybe how far you can go with him in charge, and that's why we're looking at maybe seeing more of Trey Galloway and Christian Lander moving forward.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us. Don't forget to check out the Pegs.com site. Lots of IU basketball coverage and, of course, football coverage as well, as Indiana prepares for the Outback Bowl Saturday down in Florida. Mike, we've talked a lot about this today on the program, but the Big Ten Conference, I'm just amazed each and every night at some of the results. Last night we saw Minnesota not just defeat Michigan State, but handle them by a final score that's just, for me, hard to believe when you look at this Michigan State team and what they have. And, of course, it's a Coach Izzo-led team. And then I saw the Associated Press poll yesterday, and a record number of Big Ten teams are ranked. It's just an amazing league this year, and I know we thought it was going to be this way. It's turning out to be that way now that the conference games are basically exclusively going on, and it's hard to believe what this thing is going to look like between now and the end of the regular conference play and even the conference tournament. We're going to have a lot of really good players and a lot of really good teams that are going to beat each other up and beat each other's resumes up and surprise people, and all while other conferences, I'm not sure anybody can come close to what's going on in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, I think it was either a record or the first time in forever that like 9 teams were ranked. It's just a crazy, crazy number, and none of them are Indiana. Fans love to point out the last couple of days. But what's made it even tougher is Northwestern's actually a really good team. I mean, Maryland has actually started to play well this week, beat Wisconsin, like you said, and it's that kind of league. I mean, outside of maybe Nebraska, I don't know if there's a team that you go into each game. It's really a tough task, and I think I did a story yesterday about how Indiana has to make hay here in the next few games because they are playing teams that have not great starts to the league, and then their last 11 games are basically against ranked teams.
Right.
And so it's going to be brutal, and I don't know if Indiana's got to get to like 9-11 or better, but they with the 0-2 start, it's just it made things difficult for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Now, Mike, you're headed to the bowl game later this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow, flying to Tampa tomorrow.
Gotcha. Safe travel, safe trip, enjoy it, and appreciate you being with us. Happy New Year, and we'll talk with you after the Outback Bowl next week.
All right, take care.
All right, Mike Pegram, always with us on Tuesdays of the Pegs.com website. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Thank you so much for being with us today. And a reminder, I know it's the holidays. Things are a little different. You may not be in your normal routine right now as far as work or in your car or wherever you listen to this program live on the Big X. But don't forget, you can find us as a podcast as well. We're available on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud and really any place that you listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe and catch us for free. We upload the show each afternoon, basically as soon as we go off the air with the live show in the 11 o'clock hour. Happy New Year. We've got a couple days left of the program this week. We'll be back on Wednesday with another loaded program for you. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.